no matter what kind of persecution you're suffering as a believer, if you have taken a stand of faith about anything, then the devil is going to come to try to steal that word from you,
yeah.
Whether somebody says to you because of your faith or because you're Christian or not. The root of all of it is to steal your stand of faith.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Pastors George and Terry Pearson as they begin sharing an essential message for every member of the body of Christ, what not to do when facing persecution.
Hello, everybody. We're Pastor George and Terry Pearsons, and we're so pleased to be on the broadcast today. Terry, isn't this exciting to be able to do this?
It's great.
Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Of course, you have a great history here with the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. You actually started it, didn't you?
Well, I just got to be a big part of it back in. The weekly broadcast started in 1979. We actually started working on it in 1978. And then the daily broadcast, we started in 1989, and I got to be one of those few special chosen people to be in the background and behind the scenes as my dad began the Believer's Voice of Victory weekly and daily broadcast. So we've been around a long time, and it's a great privilege when we get to be on this side of the camera and get to share with you some of the things that the Lord has taught us over, these many years.
I thought you started it way before that, though, something to the effect of a romper room. You were on romper room.
And
did the Lord speak to you on romper room? She was actually on romper room, truly.
My claim to fame. Maybe we should move along on this.
Well, it's good to be with you all, and let's pray over these broadcasts. I believe that the Lord has a word for us, a word for the body of Christ. You know, your dad, Terry, has said so often that these broadcasts are primarily for our partners and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that as the Lord's been dealing with us about what we're talking about this week, this is a word for our partners and friends. So let's pray together. Let's believe God together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just honor you and thank you for your presence this week on this broadcast and with all of those that are watching. And Father, we thank you for the anointing, the presence of the Spirit of God in all of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for instruction, inspiration. Thank you, Father, for revealing your will and your purpose and your plan to us. And we thank you for this time this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and begin opening our Bibles here to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and Terry, as you know, and as many of our partners know, Kenneth Copeland Ministries and other ministries as well are under investigation right now by the Senate Finance Committee. And when all of this first began and when all of this first started, you know, your dad has taught us to go to the Word first, to make the Word of God first place. And when all of this began and you know, it was getting in the media and so forth, our first response to it was to go to the Word and to find out what the Word has to say. Well, I went to the Word of God and began to do a study on persecution. And really, I asked the Lord the question, why in the world do they hate us? Why do they hate us? And so I prepared a message for church one Sunday, and I delivered that message. I believed it was a word from the Lord. And when I got through on that Sunday, the Lord said, you're not done. So 7 weeks later, after we dug into the subject of persecution and answering the question, not only why in the world do they hate us, but answering the question, what are we going to do about it? And what should we not do in the face of persecution? Now, you shared with me some things about how our impression of persecution is one thing. You know, somebody might think, well, Kenneth Copeland Ministries or these other ministries are being attacked and so forth. But really, everybody experiences a degree of persecution on one level or another.
Well, the world is full of influence from the devil, and of course the Bible tells us that he's the thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so there's always a stirring about that, and everyone is going to face some sort of persecution or trouble in their life. Right. Or, you know, there's a lot of talk about racial persecution, and that's certainly been a real fact. But, you know, everybody, in fact, in a lot of audiences, George, I'll say, okay, how many of you have ever suffered discrimination or right. persecution right. because you're a woman? Well, a lot of women's hands go up, nearly every one of them. How many because you're overweight? A lot of hands would go up. How many because you're older? Hands go up. How many because you're younger? Hands go up. You know, yeah. How many because you, your education, or how many because of your economic status? So all of us face opportunities to right. be for persecution, and it's just the way of the world. But then when someone has taken up the banner of Christ, when yep. someone has yep. born again into the family of God, then that level of persecution, it can be heightened. It comes to a whole different level. And not only do we face the persecution that's just in the world, where people persecute and condemn, criticize, cause trouble for one another, but then we also face that persecution because of our faith. Right. And that persecution right. over our faith, sometimes it's directly because somebody knows you're a Christian, and sometimes it's just because you've become a spiritual target for the devil, and he's going to stir something up.
Right.
Even if what he stirs up might not be directly related to your faith, the fact that we're facing an extra onslaught from the kingdom of darkness mm-hmm. is because of our faith. So everybody has tasted it on one degree or another.
Well, you know, Terry, the first thing that the Lord showed me, and I want to let our partners and friends know that all of the notes from the series that I taught on this subject are available on kcm.org. All you have to do is go to kcm.org, and you can download them, print them out, and follow along this week. There are a number of scriptures that the Lord showed me about this and points that were made, and so you can access these. But the first thing that he did, Terry, was brought me to 1 John chapter 3. Let's look at this together. 1 John 3. And it says in verse 11, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." Now, Terry, what does verse 13 say in the Amplified Translation?
"Do not be surprised and wonder, brethren, that the world detests and pursues you with hatred."
Now, the Message translation says this: "Don't be surprised, friends, when the world hates you. This has been going on for a long time."
A long time.
So this is something that is not new.
We're not talking about our persecution.
No.
But
no,
persecution but in general.
In general. You know, you look back on the Gospels, and you read about Jesus. I mean, you can go even further back into the Old Testament and look at the prophets and see what they dealt with and see what happened with them.
Go further back than that.
How far do you want to go back?
The Garden of Eden.
Well, let's go.
There you go.
So it began, really. It began back in there, reading about Cain and Abel. But the thing that I wanted to make sure that we all knew, that this, like the Message translation says, don't be surprised when the world hates you. This has been going on for a long time. And, you know, I thought about the media and how they portray ministries and the work that we're doing. And I thought about that donkey.
The donkey.
The donkey. You know, that donkey.
The donkey's gotten an awful lot of attention.
He's been around for a long time. You know, we heard just
the donkey syndrome.
The donkey syndrome.
I think you're nice to call it a donkey.
Yeah. Well, that donkey syndrome has been in effect for a long time. You know, the comment has been made that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Why should we be
in an airplane?
Nice
airplane.
And you know, I wanted to read this. This is a book that I've studied before. This Billy Graham book, and you know, Terry, in 1955, Billy Graham went to England to conduct his major, excuse me, crusade that he had there. I mean, it just shook all of England. But it was not without persecution. And on this particular quote here, it said, "The day before the crusade was to open, the People magazine hurled abuse at Silly Billy." I mean, there they are. Here's a man that's coming to this nation to preach the gospel, and the media is attacking. This is 1955. Grady Wilson, who was an associate of Billy Graham, even heard a reporter grandly announce, "When Jesus was on earth, he rode a lowly donkey. I cannot imagine Jesus arriving in England on a great ocean liner." Grady fired back, "Listen, man, if you can find me a donkey that can swim the Atlantic, I will buy it on the spot." So, you know, they were dealing with that at that time. And we've been dealing with persecution for a long time. And in this scripture here, when it talks about, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you," the word "hate" in the Greek is the word "persecute."
You know, George, I think I want to bring up this point about even the word persecution. Criticism. And its criticism can be persecution because of the effects that it has. The criticism that hurts, criticism that destroys, criticism that tears down, criticism that causes people, that brings shame,
right,
or would try to, criticism that, and it was so funny to me that there are people who want to bring criticism that maybe don't even own a Bible, much less could be called experts on it, to bring criticism. And so insight, and it's not that you're not willing to take constructive criticism from
right.
people,
but
it's the spirit that's behind it and the self-righteousness and all those sort of things that back it up. And that spirit of criticizing tucked into is a big part of persecution.
Right.
Of course, we know that goes all the way to the degree of people losing their life and torture and those sort of things. So it's all inclusive. When we talk about persecution, we're talking about criticism that and putting pressure and making things hard and costly, and it
right.
costs you a lot
yeah.
of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort, all which distracts away from your number one purpose and priority, which is to preach the gospel, minister to the needs of people.
Exactly. The word "hate" is the word "persecute." And the word "persecute"
in the Greek, the word hate translated is
"persecute."
Uh-huh.
And so in that context, it means to hunt down.
Yeah.
That
identifies the spirit of it, to hunt down.
To hunt down.
Not to help, but to hunt down.
To drive out or to chase out, to pursue. It also means to stop.
Hmm.
And to discontinue. I like this too. It also means to persistently annoy, agitate, oppress, and harass. That's what persecution is.
There is a persistence with persecution. Different than just someone fussing with you.
Right. And we have to understand too, and this is the point that I want to bring to our partners and friends, that everyone experiences a degree of persecution. Pastors will experience a degree of persecution in their cities, perhaps where the city council is concerned, and them endeavoring to build a sanctuary that God has told them to build. And you've got people on that city council that are just absolutely against them.
And, you know, sometimes I think, George, some people have full intention. You know, others are just simple in their spiritual development, and the devil can stir them up. They're aggravated about it. They question. They want to criticize, and they really don't even know why, but they are stirred to be that way.
Yeah.
Other people are in full cooperation with the spirit that's driving it. I think it's important that you said something to me as we've been preparing for these broadcasts. It's important for people to know that we're not here to even really discuss our own situation here. We're talking about what the Word says, because as our own people criticize, we've never been without criticism. People are always criticizing, and we can talk more about that as the week goes on. So that's not the point. This isn't new to us. But the way this has been public enough, it's caused other people to speak up and say, I'm going through the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's my landlord or my employer or my family or my friends, my neighbors, my children are going through something.
We've had partners calling the ministry saying what they've been through.
And a lot of people, it's sort of shined light on them, and people think that it's just them or that there are very few going through what they're going through, and it's confusing and frustrating and disturbing. And so that's the reason you wanted these broadcasts, is to go back and show people what the Word says. We didn't start digging these things out just a few weeks ago. So much of this is the way Dad has handled himself in this ministry for over 40 years
now is
just by walking by faith and sticking to the Word and let the Lord deliver us.
Well, you shared something the other day about a meeting that he had where there were very few people that were coming, but there was a guy that took out an ad?
A full page? Yeah, this was, of course, my goodness, 30-something years ago, and we were in a little town. And his dad says people were staying away by the thousands. And we were in a little tiny building about the size of the studio, I guess. And there was hardly anybody there. And yet some preacher somewhere took out a full page ad warning people not to come, which was great advertisement for us. Because as soon as you tell some people not to do it, well, they're going to go check
it
out and find out why.
Yep.
So we wound up with some great meetings there and a lot of people. I remember one lady that was blind was healed, a baby with club feet. His feet were all turned in, and Dad took that baby in his arms and put those hands in his feet, and those baby's feet turned and straightened out right there in his hands. So, you know,
if you handle persecution correctly,
yep,
on the Word, if you deal with persecution in the same way that you deal with the curse of the law, if you deal with persecution by faith and in the Word, there is a good outcome to it.
Yeah, the Lord, he gets involved when we stand on the Word.
There's a scripture, we don't have to turn there, but turn to John 15. Let me read this as we're turning over there. John chapter 15, but this scripture in 2 Timothy 3, it says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I believe it's the Amplified Bible that says they'll suffer because of their religious stand. So that's a key right there, because of our stand.
Yeah, that's something important to remember, that no matter what kind of persecution you're suffering as a believer, if you have taken a stand of faith about anything, then the devil is going to come to try to steal that word from you,
yeah,
whether somebody says to you because of your faith or because you're Christian or not. The root of all of it is to steal your stand of faith.
Yeah, yeah. It says also in Timothy, persecution is inevitable for those who are determined to live really Christian lives. And it also says in there, Paul talking, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So, you know, it's going to happen. And you may be experiencing it right now. Again, degrees of persecution. I was praying the other day and the Lord showed me something about these degrees of persecution. For instance, there are some married people that wives are not allowed to go to church or to give to their church or to ministries.
Right,
their husbands are so angry at them for their stand of faith. Well, that is a form of persecution. Why in the world does the world hate us?
You know, you say that about it being in the world, but we also suffer persecution from Christian brethren. But when people act like that, then by their actions, they are siding with the spirit of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's not the spirit of God.
Paul talked about Alexander the coppersmith and the Lord reward him according to his work.
Yeah.
So it's in all different forms, all different degrees. You've got pastors fighting each other, criticizing each other. We've got brethren that are against each other. We've got the world fighting, and we just need to know how to deal with it. Let's look at this, Terry. In John 15, in verse 18, and as I read through this, what you might do is just jump in here with the Amplified, because there are a couple of things in the Amplified that it's not said here in the King James. But listen to this. In verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were in the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. What does verse 19 say in the Amplified translation?
If you belong to the world, The world would treat you with affection and would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, you're no longer one with it. That's why we want to be careful that we don't get on that side. Revelation tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren.
Right.
We don't want to be on that team.
Right.
We don't want him to be our captain.
Exactly.
Okay, you are no longer one with it. But I have chosen, I have selected you out of the world, and the world hates and detests you.
Wow. Wow. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they'll also keep yours also. But all these things will they do to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. What does verse 21 say there, Terry?
They will do this to you, inflict all this suffering on you because of your bearing my name and on my account, for they do not know or understand the one who sent me. Mm-hmm. Sort of reveal themselves when they do that.
Yeah.
And, of course, we want to check ourselves, too.
Who Absolutely.
What seeds are we sowing?
Yep.
Who have we criticized?
Yep.
You know, who have we been critical of? Who have we put pressure on to be like we think they ought to be?
Exactly.
You know, either to their face or behind closed doors is still seed sown we don't want a harvest on.
Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hated me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had done sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Verse 25, what does it say?
Same thing, but this is so that the word written in their law would be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause.
They hated me without
That's
a cause.
They
hated. One translation says they hated me for no reason at all.
That's good.
And so as we pursue this study this week on persecution and how to handle it, how to deal with it, there's a way to do it. You don't just tuck your tail and run.
No.
But you both review yourself, make absolutely sure that you're walking in the love of God, and make sure that you're following the Word and what the Word says about it. And Terry, that's what we're going to be doing this week. This is a very crucial series for the body of Christ.
And evidently my folks thought so, because as soon as they heard you talking about this in church, they said, we have got to get that out to our friends and our partners so that they can be equipped as well.
Praise God. We'll be right back. You stay with us. We've got some more to share with you.
The Bible tells us that we as Christians will face persecution. Maybe it's happening to you at work or in your neighborhood. Maybe you're being investigated by the government or the police when you've done nothing wrong. If you're a Christian, you will face persecution for your faith on one level or another. The good news is God gives us clear instructions on how to deal with persecution and walk in total victory at the same time, living above the pressure, completely fulfilled, and advancing in the things God has called you to do. Persecution, Why in the World Do They Hate Us?, a CD sermon series by Pastor George Pearsons, reveals why the world hates Christians, what can be done about it, and the seven things we must not do when being persecuted. You'll also receive information on how to get a free download of Pastor Terry Pearson's sermon entitled, Raising Lazarus, The Amazing Power of Abiding. Find out what Jesus did when he was faced with persecution. Learn to rise above the intolerance and persecution today. Order your copy of Persecution, Why in the World Do They Hate Us? By Pastor George Pearsons on our website at kcm.org at a special price of $20. Included in your order is information on a free download of Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's dynamic teaching, Raising Lazarus, The Amazing Power of Abiding. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. Or write Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192.
Terry, this study on persecution it's needful for the body of Christ to learn and to know, especially right now. And that's why I'm so excited about this new teaching series that I did. This is hot off the press.
You really are excited about this. You've been talking about it and thinking about it, and you've been really absorbed in it.
And so, persecution. Why in the world do they hate us? We want to make this available to you. This was taught actually in our church services here at Eagle Mountain, mm-hmm. instructing our congregation.
It was very timely, George, because the first week you started on this, we didn't know it, but sure enough, there was a network news truck sitting yeah. in the street out in front of the church with cameras ready for one of their reports. So, hey, you know what? We know from whence we speak.
And then we've got something also that we wanted to offer from
yeah.
you.
Yeah, you know, the Lord really gave me some insights back a few years ago about what Jesus did and to maintain his equipping to deal with persecution. And he dealt with it on a level that you and I are unfamiliar with. Mm. But he was equipped with the power of God where persecution was concerned, and it produced raising Lazarus from the dead. And so when you order these CDs, then we'll tell you how you can get a free download of that particular message.
Now, we've got a meeting that's coming up, Long Beach, California.
Yes.
West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th through July the 5th. It's in a new
place. New place. It's going to be very exciting. We've got Super Kids. My sister, Commander Kelly, will be there along with all of the Super Kid team for ages 6 through 12.
And
yes, go ahead.
Our son, Jeremy Pearsons, is leading the 1440 Junior High and High School students there for the young people's meeting.
Young adults.
Right. And so also, Kenneth and Gloria have scriptures to pray over your children, speaking about children, the blessing for your children. Go online and download these scriptures. Don't miss any of these.
Yeah, everybody needs to hear this.
Yeah.
Call your friends and your family. It's good to know what the Word says, because when you get the Word on something, then you get deliverance along with it.
This is Pastor George and Terry Pearsons reminding you that we love you and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org. or call us toll-free, 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
And he sent his word to heal you, sent his word to save you, sent his word to fill you, sent his word to love you.
Jump in to the fullness of blessing. Get totally immersed in God's word at the 2008 West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location, come to the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with other believers from around the world. Come expecting an encounter with God. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.